In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, there we read, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Here Peter talks about how we can love life and live a good life on this earth, and more importantly, a life preparing ourselves for heaven. And so what will a person do if they truly love life and they truly want what's best, and if they truly want to go to heaven? What will that person do? In 1 Peter chapter 3, really this whole chapter deals with this in verses 1 through 7. There is advice given to husbands and wives on how to live in this earth. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning or plaiting of the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but it let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner also in old time the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And so he begins with giving this advice to husband and wife on how they should conduct themselves in the relationship. He goes on in verses 8 through 17 and gives more detail on how we are to live. He says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." And then verse 18, "For Christ also hath suffered for our sins," or once suffered for our sins, "and the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the spirits." And so in these verses, Peter again gives advice on how to live on this earth. He quotes from Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16, there where he's talking about they that love life and will see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, and so forth. And so he says, he that will love life. You know, whoever wants to enjoy life, whoever wants to see good days, he will do these things. Who would enjoy life and see happy days is another translation puts there. So notice what we will do if we love life and see good days. There are four things that are mentioned there. The first one that was mentioned is refrain his tongue from evil. You know, the word refrain means to make cease, to desist or restrain a thing or a person from something. Let him cause to cease. And so it is to exercise self-control. It is to exercise control over the tongue so that it does no evil. You know, to cease implies a natural unruliness on the part of the tongue to utter evil. Over in the third chapter of James, in verses 2 through 8, we read about the danger of the tongue, the power of the tongue. When I get there. It says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven with fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, of birds, or in birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And so he says that the tongue really can never be tamed, but it can be bridled. It can be held in check. And so all we need to remember on occasions, you know, there are occasions where our tongues uttered something that got us into trouble. And so refrain means to make it stop, to restrain it. And we can do it. We can control what comes out of our mouths. And so let us refrain our tongues from evil. You know, there are many forms of evil. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, one chapter over from our text, in verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." You know, there are many forms of evil speakings: cursing, swearing, oaths, corrupt communication, lying, filthy language, obscene language, you know, pornographic language, hateful, unloving, unkind, and rude. You know, to see good days and enjoy life, we must not allow evil language to come out of our mouth. You know, what difference really does it make what kind of language we use? You know, can't we enjoy life and see good days and still speak evil? 1 Peter 3:10 says, "No. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil." If we are going to love life and see good days, we must refrain from speaking evil. You know, God's Word says we cannot speak like that. Our language reveals what kind of person we are. Proverbs 23:7, for instance, says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is." What comes out of our mouth reveals what's in our hearts. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 34, the Lord says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And so it's very important. The things that we say reveal what is in our hearts. And so we need to be careful, first of all, what is in our hearts. We need to guard our heart and protect it from things that would come in and defile us. But when we are defiled on the inside, that is what comes out through our speech. And so, you know, we should pray, you know, "Lord, put a watch before the door of my lips." Everything we say should be thought of and thought about before it comes out. You know, so many times, We know people that have the tendency of whatever's in their mind comes right out their mouth with no filter. And so it's a very dangerous thing. We need to put a filter on it. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." It is impossible to enjoy life and see good days while disobeying God's laws. Another thing that we must do if we're going to love life and see good days is to speak no deceits or guile. Deceit or guile means to catch with a bait, a lure, a snare, deceit, guile, to speak deceitfully, to speak with craftiness. You can use guile and still not lie. You can evade the truth and work around the truth and never say a lie, and yet it's just as bad. Again, 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Again, already addressed this, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speaking." Guile is closely associated with flattery. Flattery is the praise for others that is not sincere, to praise excessively from motives of self-interest. And so rather than praising someone because you think they're worthy of praise, you give them praise because you want them to do something for you. You have a selfish motive. And so again, it's like using bait to get something that you desire. The Proverbs writer in Proverbs 29, verse 5, wrote there, "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." Proverbs 20 and verse 19, "He that goeth about as a tale-bearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." I know there's several here that served in the military, and one of the old sayings that we had when I was in the Coast Guard is, you go to a new unit, always beware your new best friend, because they're usually the troublemaker, and they're looking for someone to take their side who doesn't know what's going on. And so there's somebody like that, and it's not just in the military, it's in any job you go to. Sometimes even you go to another congregation, the same thing. And so there is a difference between a compliment and flattery. And so flattery will result in unhappiness in life. Miserable because we'll have no friends. And so let us refrain our lips from evil, our tongues from evil, and our lips that they speak no guile, that we don't be involved in hypocrisy, don't we be involved in flattery. The next thing it says in verse 11 is that we must turn away from evil. Let him eschew evil and do good. To eschew means to turn away from. The word defined by Thayer's means to bend away from, as you would in a narrow path to let another pass. Turn aside, keep going away from evil. We must shun, avoid, and turn aside from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Other translations have it, avoid or eschew or turn away, abstain from every form of evil. And so basically the idea is don't get close to evil. Shun it, stay away from it, any kind of evil. And so eschew evil and do good. This is the only way to turn away from evil. To do only that which is good, not that which is evil. He must do good, walk in the ways of righteousness. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, there we're given the commandment, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith." Be ready to take advantage of every occasion to do good. To everyone, not those, just to those in our family or just to those in our congregation, just to those of our own race or just to those of our own nation, but to all men. We are even to help those who do us harm. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, after Jesus said, "You've heard it said by them of old, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth," and so forth. He says in the next verse, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You know, to me, that's one of the toughest commandments that Christ ever gave, is to love our enemies and do good for those that hate us, do good to those that are trying to destroy us. You know, that really seems to go against a lot of what we think as men and women. And yet, that's exactly what we're to do. You know, many times we let opportunities pass, opportunities to do good go past. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, James said, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And so we need to take every opportunity to do good. It's not just enough to not do evil, but we must be active in doing good. And then finally, he says, if you're going to love life and see good days, you need to seek peace and pursue it. You know, we are living in a world of war and strife and hatred among men. We need to have peace among nations, among men, among families, among all people. Peace between individuals, harmony or concord. We need peace. We need to seek peace. The things that make for peace. You know, all men with sin, and sin has caused us to be at enmity with God. We need to make peace with God. We need to put the sin out of our life to make peace with God, and we need to preach the gospel to those that are lost so that they can also have that peace with God. And so we're to seek peace among men and seek peace between man and God. We're to, he says, seek peace and ensue it. Another translation says to pursue. To pursue it. And so pursue is an attempt to attain, to seek after eagerly, earnestly, endeavoring to acquire. Pursue peace at all times. Seek peace where it has been lost. Restore peace when it has been broken. Pursue peace, and when it seems to be flying away, chase after it. Lay hold on it. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then Matthew 5 and verse 9 tells us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And so all of us seek happiness and a good life, and the Lord tells us how we can have that good life. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." And so if we're going to live a good life, if we're going to live a godly life, if we're going to live a life that is pleasing to God and making preparation for heaven, let us do these four things that the Apostle Peter has told us. If we do these things, then we will be righteous. Then we will be happy. Then we will have a good life. Again, Philippians or 1 Peter 3, verses 12 through 17 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." You know, this world in which we live, we will suffer. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Our life is not going to be easy. And we talk about love life and see good days. That's not meaning that every day is going to be roses. It's going to be difficult, perhaps, at times in our lives. But with Christ and living a righteous life, we have that hope of heaven, something to look forward to that is better. And so the only way we're going to have that hope of heaven is by responding to the gospel. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He took our place, the guilty, or the righteous for the unrighteous, the innocent for the guilty. He took our place. We deserve to die, but He took our place. And that's the good news of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We must believe that Jesus died for our sins. We must confess that belief. We must repent of our sins. And we must be baptized to have our sins washed away. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, through obeying the gospel of Christ, we urge you tonight to do so. If you are a Christian but you haven't been faithful, we urge you to repent. Tonight, if we can help you to respond to the Lord's invitation, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.